comes from the real McCoy? Have you ever wondered that? Huh? Well, I'm glad you asked. I can tell you. The real McCoy comes from a gentleman by the name of Elijah McCoy. He was a Canadian inventor who invented an oil that went in steam engines. And whenever he invented it, as usually happens, whenever there's an invention made, someone else came along, they made some oil that goes in a steam engine also, but it wasn't up to the same quality. So after Elijah McCoy had patented the oil, he come back and you know what he named it? The real McCoy. And why he did that for it, so people would know that it wasn't a fake and that it was up to standard. And you know what, folks? But whatever the origin of that saying might have been, you know what it means? The real McCoy means to know that something's not fake, that something's genuine, that something is real. Amen? If I tell you that's the real McCoy, what do you automatically think? You think, well, that's really the truth. That's where it needs to be, right? Amen. You know what? That's the concept of the text I'm about ready to read this morning to you. You want to turn over to James, the first chapter? James, the first chapter, start with the 23rd verse. Oh, I love to hear pages of Bibles turning. I know you got them. Amen? That is good. Keep right on turning them. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now pay attention to these last two verses, please. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given. I want to thank you, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, we have to stand before you at this sacred desk, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd give the message this morning, Lord. I pray that you would do that, Lord. I just want to give you the praise and the glory for it all, Lord. I pray, Father, that hearts here this morning would be receptive, Lord. I pray that, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You know, the book of James has been debated to be one of the first books written in the Bible, in the New Testament. It's been debated to be that. And you know what? With all the books, and every book, just like any book that you read in the Bible, there are key verses that run as a thread, that run all the way through that book. And what the key verses in this book of James is those last two that I read to you. And I'm going to read them again. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and to widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let me tell you, these verses are the keys. These two verses, if you want to know what James is about and what he tries to get through to everybody the rest of the book, those two verses right there is where the key to the book of James is at. And you know what? What he's trying to tell you, and while I got into thinking about this, is he's trying to tell you what is a real McCoy. What is a real godly Christian, a real McCoy? This is what it's about. And I want to get into some of the stuff here a little bit that Paul talked about whenever he talked. He said you can tell somebody from a cheap imitation. That's what he's trying to say. Let me ask you a question this morning. What does real religion act like in your eyes this morning? You don't have to answer me out loud. You don't have to raise your hand. But I want you to sit right there a minute and just ponder. If I ask you, what is real religion in your eyes? What is it? A real religious person, the real McCoy in your eyes, I guarantee you if I went through and talked to every one of you this morning, you would give me your opinion what you think a real McCoy is, right? You would. And I would do the same thing. What real religion act like? What's it act like? And what's the way it thinks? You know, some may say having perfect attendance at church makes you the real McCoy. Well, does not the Bible tell us over in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and as so much more as ye see that day approaching? Yes, I'm in favor of people going to church, brothers and sisters, but going to church zeal does not make you a real McCoy. I want you to either disagree or agree with me in the statement. The devil goes to church, right? He does. The devil sits in churches. He sits in a lot of them. He goes to church. As a matter of fact, he probably knows more about the Bible than some people that are Christians. You say amen to that? I bet he does too. What about carrying the biggest honking Bible you can carry and the best Bible that you got? Does that make you the real McCoy this morning? Let me ask you that. Some of you probably got bad eyesight like I do, so you got need big text like I got to have. So does that make you... You know, we should study the in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does that make you the real McCoy? No, not at all, Ken. It's like I just told you, the devil knows the word of God. Is he the real McCoy as far as a Christian? No, he is not. No, he's not. Maybe it's how we dress. That might be it. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy 2:19. In like manner also, the women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. That's what it says. Maybe it's how you wear your hair. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doeth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory unto her. I want you to know something this morning. Being the real McCoy goes much deeper than the way that you dress, going much more than the way that you wear your hair. It goes far deeper than that. And I want you to understand, as I get into this more, this is what James is trying to tell every one of us is a real McCoy. Just because you're standing, and I want to say this statement, and you can agree with this all, just because you're standing in the middle of the garage, does that make you a car? Obviously, it does not make you a car. Just because you come to church, you dress like you think you should dress, your hair is just exactly the way that you think it should be, you're this, you're that, you read, you come all the time, just because you're doing all these things does not make you necessarily the real McCoy. And I'm not saying anything bad about any of the rest of it. That may be what God puts conviction upon your heart to do. But I'm just telling you, it goes so much deeper into being what I consider, or what God considers, what James considers to be the real McCoy. You can look the part, you can play the part, and I want to tell you, you can even smell the part. But I want you to know something more there. It goes well beyond that if we want to be the real McCoy. Matthew 7:21, and I'm going to turn over there, I'm going to read this, because this really drives it home in some instances. Matthew 7:21-23, you can turn there and read it with me if you want to. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have not cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But listen to what Jesus said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from ye, ye that walk iniquity. Now let me tell you something. If somebody's standing up and prophesying and testifying, if somebody's doing all manner that Jesus said to do, if we looked at it from the outside, we would say to ourselves, that's got to be the real McCoy, right? Would we not say that? Well, Jesus took it and he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why? Because Jesus Christ knew the heart. Amen. He knew the heart. He knows where you stand this morning. He knows exactly where you are, what you're doing for Jesus, where you stand for Him this morning. And if you do not know Him as your personal Savior, if your heart is not right, I'm going to be the first to tell you this morning, you're not the real McCoy. Amen. You're not. So we see that it's not how things look or sound from the outside that makes us a real McCoy. That's all that makes it. So James is telling us how to define pure religion, the real McCoy. There are three things. If we look at this scripture, I believe that we can find out. Genuine religion, and the first one is a controlled tongue. It says there's a heart that is soft and caring. And a genuine religion's purification of the soul. Those three will be manifested in a real McCoy. Those three will be manifested in a real Christian, more or less is what Paul's saying. First, it is a controlled tongue. This is quite a statement. Let's read what he said right there. I want to read that again, where he said there, back in James again. And he said, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Do you understand what he's telling us? There's a little bit of scripture right there. He's telling, if you cannot control your tongue, your religion, I don't care how much you read your Bible, I don't care how much you come to church, I don't care how much you stand up and testify, I don't care how much you pray, I don't care much any of that stuff, if you cannot control your tongue, James is telling me that your religion is vain. Boy, that's quite a statement, is it not? That is quite a statement. I work in public works. And most of you that's ever worked in public works, I'm going to tell you right now, I probably have heard every manner of cuss word that I could ever hear in my life. I've heard it all. I mean, I've heard everything. There's nothing that shocks me, and it should, but there's nothing that shocks me anymore. I've worked in public works long enough to know. James explains in chapter 3, the tongue is harder to control than a wild beast. And that's what I say. Whenever you have the thread goes through it, if you take those two verses, when you go over to chapter 3, it corrupts you like poison. A tongue can do that, and it can consume like a raging fire. That's what the tongue can do. You may have experienced this either by you doing it or by someone else lashing out at you. You probably have experienced this at some time in your life, how the tongue can tear you down. I'm reminded of the Karen Carpenter story. If you know who Karen Carpenter was, most of you do. She was a singer from a few years back, and I still think she's one of the best voices that I've ever heard to sing. That's just me personally. But you know what happened? What started her down? She died of bulimia. She died of anorexia. You know what started her down that path? I'll tell you what it did. She heard her brother was singing at a concert, and a journalist in New York City had went to the concert and seen it, and he wrote in the paper the next day, this fat little girl with the great voice. And she read it, and from that time on, her life was never the same. And she ended up, she died of what I just told you a little bit ago, anorexia and all the other things. Words hurt. It's hard to control the tongue sometimes, but brothers and sisters, you don't know how much damage we can do with our tongues. We just don't know. I'll tell you, it's sharp. The tongue is sharp. That's what it is. You know what? I'll tell you a little story about how the tongue can affect things. In the early 1900s over in Britain, there was a great revival that happened over there. It's called the Great Welsh Revival. Thousands of people got saved during this revival. This is a true story. Anyway, 100 coal miners got saved at that time also. They were working down in the coal mines, and after they got saved, something happened. Production at the mines dropped way off, and they could not understand what was going on. These guys were working just as hard as they'd always worked. Matter of fact, they were even working harder. You know, as Christians, they were giving their all to their bosses. But you know what happened? The mules that brought the trains up out of the coal mines couldn't understand them because they quit their cussing. They didn't know who they were. They stopped pulling the wagons up out of the mines. You don't know what kind of effect our mouths have on things. But that's what happened. They stopped their cussing. The problem was there was a profanity that they would cuss them mules to a fly wouldn't write on them. Well, after they stopped it, they wouldn't carry nothing. That goes to show you. And I want to tell you something this morning. God can clean our mouths up. He can clean them up. And I want you to know, those mules didn't recognize what was going on. They didn't. But you know what? They didn't recognize how much is a bad mouth. The problem is, our words are windows to our souls. Do you understand that? And this is not my main point of this right here. This is something I'm just touching on. It's just a little bite of something else I'm just giving you, okay? There's a reason for it, but I don't know what it is, but God knows. Our words are good or bad reveal what kind of a person we are on the inside. Amen? They do. I want you to understand that. It don't take me very long talking to somebody at work. I know just exactly where they stand. It don't take very long. Now, as bad as that may, it kind of talk may be, God can clean up our mouths. James took it even deeper. And this is the point here. He said deeper revealing that a worthless religion, a phony faith, he said James warns us about a negative, critical, condemning, gossiping tongue. He warns us about that, brothers and sisters. He warns us. He goes on to show us the effects of this, of grumbling, complaining, quarreling, and even slanderous talk. James tells us that all these are evidence, and I want you to get this, of a phony faith. Amen or oh my. James, it isn't Dave Long. I want you to tell me, it's in the book. It's in the book. It's not me. It's not me up here trying to make up stuff. It's in the book. That's what James said. The real McCoy will control the tongue. The real McCoy will control that tongue. The real McCoy will have a soft heart also. That's number two on top. In verse 27, the first part, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's the next thing he's talking about, that where the real McCoy's at. He said he uses the widows and the orphans of that time as an example, because those people were very, very downtrodden at that time. They had, you know what, if you were a widow at that time, I'm telling you what, you couldn't hardly take care of yourself if somebody wasn't there to take care of you. If you was an orphan at that time, people had to come through and take care of you, or you would not be taken care of. That's just the way it was. Such compassion has always been the hallmarks of a real McCoy. I'm going to tell you what, you want to see somebody that's really walking for Jesus, I want to tell you what, they will have a soft heart, they will have a compassionate heart for people, amen? They will. Did you know that the majority of the hospitals, the orphanages, and the nursing homes that have been started in this country and around the world were started by Christian organizations or Christian people? It was. Look it up and you'll find it. It was. It was started by those kind of people. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because Christian people have that kind of heart about them. They have it. The real McCoys, I'll tell you what, they want to help. They're willing to help. That's what it is. No matter if they knew the people or not, they would help them. They would. James also goes on to expand on this in chapter 2, how the church should treat visitors and newcomers, no matter the race, the culture, or the language. I want you to know, as church-going people, as real McCoys, we should treat them with all due respect that we can do it. We should welcome them in with open arms the best that we can. And you're saying, preacher, should we do that to homosexuals? Yes, we should. We should invite them in. We should let them know that they're welcome here and that they need to be saved. Amen? There are people that will not do that. They want them as far away from them as they can get them, whether they be homosexuals or this type or that type, whatever it may be. I want you to know that's where they need to be, is in the house of God. That's where they need to be. Praise God. The real McCoy is always compassionate. He's never a bigot. Never a bigot. The third mark of a real McCoy is to purify the soul. Listen to what it says in the last part of that. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. Amen. You know, that's part. You know, what's it mean to be unspotted from the world? Listen, there are times, oh my. Well, you know who you associate with kind of tells you what you are sometimes. It does. I want you to understand that. I believe that in what you watch. Some of the things of movies and televisions and radios and hanging out with the wrong crowd, going to the wrong places, these can certainly qualify, you know what, as some source of moral and spiritual pollution. They can. They can qualify as that. What you tell us, we would do well, I want you to know what, we would do well to teach our young ones and ourselves sometimes, you know what, we need to keep better control of what we watch, hear, say, and do. Amen? We need to do that for our kids and for ourselves. But I want you to know something else. You know, evil has a way of opening up a window to get in. I've done preached on that. Sophisticated types may call this old-fashioned and stuffy, but I really don't really care what they think about that, to be quite honest with you. I'll tell you what, I got the Bible to back me up on it, so I know what I'm saying. But I know what I'm saying. But, you know, but for the real McCoy, there's a lot of pollution out there. I understand that. A lot of it fouls the soul. It does everything to keep the true signal that God wants to get through to us. It does a lot to filter that out sometimes. So we got to be careful. But again, James is going so much deeper than just that. You understand over in the third chapter, if you want to look over there, it said James begins with verse 13 of the third chapter, and he goes on to say, "Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good works conversation. His works was meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, and glory not and lie not against the truth, the wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, and is sensual, and is devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." James goes on to tell us that. He says, go on in the rest of the book, and he warns against things like secular thinking. He goes on to warn against that and making plans and leaving God out of them. He goes on and warns that thing. He said if God was around, or just keeping God in a neat little Sunday box. James warns us about all these things. How many times do we do that? We wear him like a coat. We put God on when we come into church. But when we go back out the door, we hang that religious coat up on the nail out there. We go out the door and we live our lives the way that we want to live it the rest of the time, the rest of the week, until we come back next Sunday. I want you to know, James warns us against that. I want you to know, that's not the characteristics of a real McCoy. That is not the characteristics of a real McCoy. I want you to know that. It's just we don't need to put God in some neat little box like that. We don't need to do that. He warns us against envy. He warns us against greed and materialism. These are the very qualities that accompany a false, frivolous religion. Those things will accompany that whenever we get it. You know what? There was a preacher one time. Remember him telling this story. He got a call from a man, and the man said, I want to talk to you about what you did to my about my boys. He had two boys that this preacher had been talking to. So I want to talk to you about my two boys. And the guy said, he said, oh my, what's going on here, you know? He said, but he agreed to talk to this man. So the man comes and he talks to this preacher. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, I know them two boys. He said, I know what they were like. He said, I know what they did. He said, I knew everything that they were ever into. And he said, you know what? I want what they got. That's what the man, he said, I want what they got. And he said, eventually that man got saved too. I want you to know something this morning. If you're the real McCoy, people are going to want what you got. They're going to want it. They're going to look at you. They're going to know that there's a difference in your life. They're going to know that you're able to control the tongue. They're going to know that you have a soft heart, a caring heart. They're going to know that you keep yourself unspotted from the world. They're going to know all these things. I'm going to ask you this morning. Look inside your own self this morning. Do you consider yourself the real McCoy this morning? Do you consider yourself exactly where you need to be in serving God this morning? In having Jesus as your Savior this morning? I'll tell you what. This is, like I said last year, this is the new year of 2013. What better way to start out the new year than serving Jesus Christ as your Savior? Amen. Amen. They come and get us all. I'm done.